Christ the Lord speaks to you through the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15. We return to where we left off last time we were here. The last time we were here, we were looking at the Canaanite woman begging Jesus to heal her daughter, recognizing she'll take the crumbs under the table if that's all he'll give, knowing it'll be enough. She's commended for her faith. We were reminded to keep crying out, constantly crying out to Jesus with that same faith and passion that moves mountains and is answered in special ways. So we pick up where we left off at verse 29. We'll complete the chapter this evening, verses 29 through 39. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, verses 29 through 39. Hear now the word of God. And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain, and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet. And he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples say unto him, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7, and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes, and gave thanks, and brake them, and gave to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat, and was left 7 baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men, beside women and children. And he sent away the multitude, and took ship, and came into the coasts of Magdala. Well, a word comes to mind here. I believe it's French, or phrase, déjà vu. You know, that idea of a sense of, I think we've been here before. This just feels so familiar. I feel like we've been here before. I think you could almost say that about this text. It feels like we've been here before. Back in chapter 9 especially, it seems like we're reading essentially the same story. But it's not the same story. It's very, very similar, but it's not the same story. There is a repetition of events, however. There's something that has happened before that's happening so similarly again. William Hendrickson says, this feeding especially of all of these people shows Christ's power, not only to perform such an amazing miracle, but that he can do it again anytime he wants. You know, it's no problem. He'll repeat it. And that certainly is something to be seen here, although I don't think it's the main idea, and he wouldn't say so either. He goes on to comment on other things we'll focus on. But before we focus on these other things, just stop and try to picture this with me. I think we're so familiar with these stories, just like the walking on the water. Just try to stop and consider the magnitude, the majesty of what we're reading about. Multitudes come up to him in the wilderness, and he heals them all. William Hendrickson talks about it as it's almost all as if it's happening at the same time. Just try to picture that. There's people who are deaf, who are blind, who are maimed, sick. They're all around him, tons of people all around him. We get an idea of it, of how many people he fed. Thousands and thousands of people here to get healed, and he heals them miraculously, powerfully. Nobody goes away unhealed. It's just amazing. Try to picture all these people. People, I see, I can hear. The thing that really struck me this week, reading the word maimed. Have you ever seen someone with a maimed limb, an arm? Usually it doesn't look normal. Elder Renner and I were at a place recently where we saw a beautiful little girl but was missing a few fingers, I'm sure by birth, you know. Try to imagine those fingers just growing. And then than the five fingers. Try to imagine this arm that is limp and skinny because it can't be used and cramped up, like the paralytics we've seen him heal before, the man sick with palsy. And then try to imagine this arm just stretching out and having muscles and strength like nothing. I mean, imagine, they're just, no wonder they're staying around him for 3 days. You know, probably all the work that's getting done, but just who wants to leave this? Try to just picture that. And it's not the first time he's done it. He just keeps doing this. And then imagine this feeding of so many thousands of people again, with no resources, not enough resources. Again, the disciples are like, how in the world are we going to do this? We're not going to focus on that tonight because Jesus will end up focusing on it in the few texts to come. They're going to worry about bread on a ship, and he'll say, do you remember twice we did this? But even here, they're struggling to see and believe, even though he's done it before. And so it's helpful for us to see that he repeats these things. He can do it all the time. It's amazing. But what I think we want to focus on tonight, there's a clue of what we want to focus on. The significance of this repetition. Why does Mark give this to us particularly? Because after all, it's about the gospel. It's about where Jesus is taking the gospel, where this is going to end up going. The repetition here tonight of this amazing time of healing, and then again feeding of thousands of people with just a few loaves and fish. It's a different group of people. It's a different kind of people he's doing it for, showing that he's a God available to everyone. These are Gentiles, at least for the most. These are Gentiles. Remember, the last story was the Canaanite woman. Maybe that's why they're all following him now. The Canaanite woman, she's not a Jew. She wants him to come and heal. He's in the outskirts of his own land, but she comes out and wants to get him. And what does he say? I can't do that. I'm here for the Jews, right? He says, I'm here to serve the lost sheep of Israel. You'll see that in verse 24 of our chapter from last time. She is begging him to just get crumbs under the table. Okay, I'm not of the Jews, but even the lap dogs, the pets under the table, get the food from the children, and just give me some scraps, Lord. She says that because she recognizes she's not a Jew. Jesus has said in verse 24, I came for the lost sheep of Israel, meaning his own people, the Jews. Primarily, to begin with, when he sent his disciples out early in Matthew, he said, don't be distracted by other places. Go to all the houses of Israel. But through her, he showed that his ministry will expand to the Gentiles. He didn't turn her away. In fact, he commended her faith. It was so amazing, just like the only other Gentile, right? The centurion, I believe, who earlier in the Matthew, he said, I've never seen faith like this. Didn't even have, in both cases, didn't even have to go there to heal these people. So through her, he shows that he will go to the Gentiles, even though it looks like it might just be the Jews. And we see the hint of that. We get the idea of this, who these people are in verse 31. Look at verse 31. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Now notice the way that is said. You wouldn't really say that as the Jews. They would speak of our God, the God of Israel. They glorified the God of Israel. There's sort of a third person onlooking kind of thing here. They glorified the God of Israel. Clearly this is mainly a Gentile audience. Gentiles being those who are not Jews. An audience that was so astonished by these healings of the son of David, the son of Abraham, as referred to in his genealogy at the beginning of Matthew, the Messiah of the Jews. His healings are so amazing that they realize this King of the Jews is also King of Kings and Lord of Lords and God of Gods. They realize we will worship him too. He's healing us and we will worship him too. These signs and miracles are showing he's the Messiah who has come not only to the Jews but to the whole world. He's not turning us away. And so Jesus showed this was the proper response to worship him, though they are Gentiles. Just as the Canaanite fell and worshiped him before the Canaanite woman. The proper response. So he responded to them with the same compassion. Verse 32. He says, I have compassion on these people. It's the same concern he had before in chapter 9, the Jewish multitudes that were with him. And he said, look, they're not going to be able to eat. I need to feed them. You need to feed them. I have compassion on them. Well, here we see he has compassion not only on the Jews, but also on the Gentiles. He's going to make a people who are not God's people, God's people. God is going to be a God to those he was not a God to. The Gentiles will be grafted in. So after Jesus miraculously heals all these people, just as he has done before when they gathered in multitudes, verses 29 to 31, similarly now he miraculously feeds thousands, verses 32 to 39. Again, very similar to chapter 9, the first time we saw this. This time, the Gentiles. Just as he said to the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, what did he say? Salvation is of the Jews. He is the Jewish Messiah. And yet he came to where no Jew would go. They'd avoid it, to go to her where she was and offer her himself as Savior, to offer her the resurrection in himself. So tonight's story, what we're going to focus on is a lot of it's very similar. But we recognize he's doing this now for the Gentiles. And they say they worship him. They worship him, the God of Israel. Remember that God was showing through his miracles, the 10 plagues with Pharaoh. What was he showing? I am the Lord and there is none else. There is no other God. I am the only God. This is what the people are recognizing now. Throw away your idols. This is the true God. This is the true God. Look what he's done. So this account tonight of Jesus taking care of the Gentiles, as we have touched on before in the gospel, shows that these prophecies have been fulfilled by Jesus for you. I'm going to read some for you. In Isaiah, and then how they are also spoken of in the book of Acts, as Paul is sent to be a disciple and apostle to the Gentiles. These prophecies have been fulfilled by Jesus in you also and for you also. Why do I say that? Because you're all not ethnically by birth Jews. And yet you have the faith of Abraham, so you are Jews. You who are Gentiles who did not have any ability to be with God until Jesus came, now you're part of the same family of believers. I, the Lord, Jesus has fulfilled this, and he's fulfilling it in you. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. To open the blind eyes, that's what we see. To bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Isaiah 42, verses 6 and 7. Light to the Gentiles. Notice this in all these verses. Isaiah 49, verse 6. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. See, unto the end of the earth. Israel used to be just, the church used to be in this little tiny part of the Middle East. Now, at the end of the earth, you're going to the Gentiles. Isaiah 60, verses 2 to 3. For behold, this is what you're seeing in the text. Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. He is that bright morning star rising with healing in his wings. And it comes to the Gentiles. That's always been the prophecy of the Messiah, not just restoring the house of Israel, but now bringing in the Gentiles. And this is what is happening. He doesn't just feed thousands of Jews that are hungry after healing them. He heals thousands of Gentiles and now has compassion to feed them also. And so we see this brought to bear in Acts chapter 13 as the gospel's going out to the othermost parts of the earth. Acts 13, 47 to 48. which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. The Gentiles were ordained. Those of the Gentiles were ordained to eternal life too. And it was the time of the coming of Jesus the Messiah that these things would happen. Acts 26, verses 22 to 23. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Moses, he's saying, the prophets, they all said that this day would come in Christ. He would bring God to the Gentiles. He would bring eternal life, light from God to the Gentiles. So, beloved, you see tonight, Jesus is the light. He is the light unto the Gentiles. Aren't you glad that you and your people have not been left in the dark? Aren't you glad that Jesus came to your dark corner of this earth? Maybe some of you first-time converts, some of you benefiting from those who were converted generations before. But aren't you blessed? I'm struck, the ends of the earth. God's bringing the light through the ends of the earth through Jesus Christ. I've mentioned I've been reading this book about the Genevan missionaries in the 1500s sent by Calvin to Brazil. And I'm learning all about the different tribes, the people in Brazil. And let me just say, without sharing all the details, they needed the light. They needed the gospel light, just like the Dutch, just like the British. We were all pagans. We all did horrible things. Picket, Mexico, wherever you go, it was dark. It was dangerous. I think to myself, I would have hated to have to live in that place and in that time without the gospel light. Scary. Human sacrifices, cannibalism, normal things all around these places of the earth. Thank God that the light of Jesus Christ came to your and my world. What would our lives be without Jesus? Thank God that we get to have some crumbs. Rather, that we end up being made children and we get to sit at his table as we will partake of the Lord's Supper tonight. No longer at enmity with God, but made citizens of the kingdom, family of God Almighty. Thank God that Jesus is the light to the Gentiles and not just to the Jews. Because look what he does. He heals us. He feeds us in a way no one else ever could or ever would. May you be thankful, and may you have compassion also not to leave others hungry. Jesus had compassion also on the Gentiles. He didn't want to leave them hungry. He healed them. He had mercy ministry to them. Jesus can repeat what he has done, and Jesus is happy to repeat what he has done for others. And he can do that in you, and he's happy to do it in you. Have his compassion for the world around you. We need to be careful not to get too comfortable in being the church for so long and forget about all those and lack compassion for the lost and lack compassion for the hungry, lack compassion for those who need to be healed in different ways. Recognizing this was a special time where the signs were showing Jesus was the Messiah, we can't guarantee or necessarily even look for these kinds of things today. I don't think that we should think we're going to go out and I'm going to split bread and wine and feed the Paradise Hills. But the point is, have compassion to bring Jesus Christ to them, because what everybody really needs is to know from these signs that he is the Messiah and to eat his body and to drink his blood. To turn to him for salvation and for sustenance in life. Have compassion on the world around you. Jesus is the light of the world. And he makes you the light of the world. And this is also in the Gospel of Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount. Remember to show the world through yourself the glorious, gracious truth that Jesus is not just King of the Jews. He is your King. You get to serve him too. He has shown his light to you. He has shown his light in you. Let your light shine in tangible ways to others. Maybe the Canaanite woman, this Gentile, told the story to everybody. She probably did. Maybe that's the reason thousands of Gentiles are now flocking to him, just as the Jews were flocking to him because of all of their friends and family were telling everyone. Maybe they're all here bringing these people and falling at his feet for merciful healing and feeding because of the Canaanite woman. Or like the woman at the well, all the people in her town came out to see Jesus because of her testimony. And so they came to see Jesus, and then they said, "We believe not just because of your testimony, but now because we have seen and heard him for ourselves." But God used her testimony to bring them to him. Beloved, keep telling his story. Keep telling your story. That Jesus has saved you. His kingdom has come. His will is being done in your life. You've been made a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. You've been brought into the church. Your life has been changed, turned upside down, that is, right side up. Your mind and your lives were filled with darkness, and so were your histories. And now Christ has filled them with his light and made you the light of the world. Tell his story. Tell your story. Anyone can come to Jesus and be saved. Anyone who wants Jesus to be their king can come and have them as their king. This is what you're seeing tonight. Jesus is King of the Jews, but Jesus also is King to the Gentiles. And again, we Gentiles, I think, can all say a hearty thank you, Jesus, and amen. And that is the message for you this evening, beloved. Jesus also is King to the Gentiles. Let us pray to him the way he taught his disciples to pray, including thy kingdom come. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.